It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back for episode 5 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
That's right. I was just informed. No, I'm kidding. We're week one here.
Yeah, we're week one.
Yeah,
week one.
It's not
that's
week
right.
zero
it's
anymore.
Right. It's we're not out of week that. Zero.
We're out of the
so excited to actually get to some real numbers.
That's right. That's yeah. right. We just had a very successful Friday night of football here in Southwest Arkansas across all of our stations. So, of course, Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, Leopard Care Clinic, all of these fine, fine sponsors that bring you all these coach interviews and everything. And this is the first week we get to do our players of the game, players of the area. And then we still get to say what's the game of the week here later in the episode.
Yeah, we're very excited about bringing the players of the game and players of the area. Had some outstanding performances in Southwest Arkansas Friday night. Going to see what the coaches have to say about that. When it all ends up, though, we're still picking who they are.
Yeah.
So that's what we get to do, right, Tony?
That's exactly right.
We have
so,
the power.
Yeah. I think we've got some excellent candidates for players of the game, and we also have some for, you know, that are going to really stand out for player of the area too.
That's right.
And so it's going to be really fun. We're going to go back and review what happened Friday night. Then we're going to come on and talk about this Friday night's games.
Friday night's games coming on. Definitely excited for that. So let's not wait anymore, man. Let's get to Coach Richard Bell, head coach of the Leopards.
All right, Coach. We have Coach Richard Bell, the DeQueen Leopards. Leopards went to Mena Friday night, lost 39-7, a better game than the score would indicate, but some key mistakes hurt the Leopards early in the game and then again later in the game. Coach, just from my perspective, turned the ball over 5 times. That kind of put us in the hole to start with.
Yeah, you start out a game like that. Again, we had start off an offense stalled, and then we snapped the ball literally 20 foot over our kicker's head. We've worked it all summer long and worked it all of August, and I haven't seen a bad snap yet, let alone 20 foot over his head. So hard to bounce back from that. Then bam, bam, 2 fumbles. I was really, with the boys, how they bounce back on defense, holding them to 2 field goals, right for those 2 turnovers back-to-back.
When it's 6-0, it could have easily been 14.
Yeah, inside the 15-yard line on both of them, So that was big for the boys, and I thought that they, really showed what they can do. They showed some poise. They showed some backbone. They could have just laid down, but they didn't. What I'm looking for always out of a negative is to turn that into a positive. So with those boys, again, I said, hey, we got to flip the switch. The switch, because that snap cannot be the defining moment of the game. So we got to stop them here, and they did. Then we turn it over again. So, hey, can't let it get you. Stop them again. And they did. And then, by God, it just kept happening.
I think you talk about things, and I know you talked with Jay about this on the radio, about, what your keys to victory were.
Oh, yeah.
And all 3 things that you had as keys to victory
did not happen. Yeah.
You had too many turnovers, 5 turnovers. The kicking game wasn't what you thought it should be. Although, congrats to finding a kickoff guy.
Yeah, well,
he did a great job.
I had told Tony that I had 2 kickers, one with a really, really strong leg and one that was, more accurate, and the one with the really strong leg right before this week broke his hand. And so I was really, really happy with Rodrigo, how he did get it in the end zone, but he's not even our strongest kicker. So for that to happen was great. But again, we had 2 bad snaps on punt, one over his head and one at his feet. And luckily Jared was able to get the ball and at least kick it down the field some, to help us out on the punt.
That was a great play.
Yeah,
very, on a stat sheet, it's very overlooked. But if you look at that on film and think, man, the dramatic change in field position because he was able to – that was an athletic play, and he did a good job.
Yeah, the field position, again, you know, you mentioned the score. If you look at the stats, which I guess you did because you did them, but if you look at the stats, you know, we only, you know, gave up 130-something yards rushing, 80-something yards passing, and the time of possession was about equal, so we always want to win the time of possession. We didn't win it by very, very much. But it doesn't matter when you have 115 yards of penalties, and then you have five turnovers. I don't care who you are. That gives your offense a, you know, probably a negative balance sheet all night long. Yeah. So you can't win a ball game that way, and we know that. And I had a thing I told the boys today. We had a few unsportsmanlike conducts. Two of them that we had to me. It was the other team. We absolutely did nothing wrong, but there were two that we did do. And so I had a saying today, and I typed it up, and I gave it to every boy, and I put it in their locker when they got there Monday. And it said, there's going to be a time in a game where you have to choose to satisfy your own anger or the success of the team. I'm going to challenge you to choose the success of the team.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, that's a big motto to take into life. I said, because there's times in life, you know, with me as a father, where I could choose to act violently when something happens. Well, how's that going to help the success of my family?
Right.
You know, so I challenged them to, you know, don't choose yourself, yourself over the team. Don't satisfy your anger. Don't get 5 seconds of satisfaction over the team's success. And so I put that in everybody's locker, and they all really kind of took it to heart, I think, yesterday.
Well, you know, one thing, I was going to talk to you about this and talk about the refereeing a little bit. I don't know how you do this in football.
Right.
But,
Greg's our local referee analyst.
Right.
Yeah, I get in trouble sometimes for it. But that's okay. I can do that on here, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you an analogy from basketball. I know, you know, sometimes you see coaches intentionally get technical fouls,
right,
when they think calls aren't going their way, you
right.
know. And sometimes it changes things.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that in football or if you can
do that. No.
Okay, but you can't. It's harder to do, right?
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. But the one thing I wanted to say is what I noticed from the very start of the game is they were – the MENA Bearcats were being a little overly aggressive at the end of plays. When they would get off of somebody, they would push them down or they'd roll over them. And those things, after a while, kids get tired of that.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
I'm not taking anything away from MENA. MENA played a great ball game. I thought their coach put together a great scheme. We just gave it to them on that aspect. You know, and I'm never blaming anything on an official. The only thing I will say is that he wanted me to call a timeout to have a conversation, and I wasn't going to call a timeout to have a conversation because he had gone over to MENA's sideline and explained to him the penalty, but didn't think he had to explain it to me. So at that point, I kind of thought the same thing that I told my kids. I can choose to satisfy my anger in this second and get a 15-yard penalty, but I chose the success of my team over me satisfying my anger because what he told me on the field would have warranted me getting a 15-yard penalty, but I did not. Our kid got double punched in the face, and their kid stood up and threw his hands up. And anyways, so I pointed at him, and he threw the flag, and I assumed he threw the flag on the MENA kid. Unfortunately, he did not. He threw the flag on us. He said that we were the one that did the double punch in the face. And I walked off the field.
I'm going to say film didn't confirm that.
It did not. But anyways, that's behind us. And like I told these boys, I said, you know, I have to practice what I preach. I said, because all I'd have done in that moment there is no win scenario in that. I've never seen an official turn a call over that's going to embarrass him or make him look in the wrong. So all I could do was tack on another 15 to make it a 30, and I chose not to. And I got to practice what I preach to these kiddos. We need to roll on and make a new play, you know. So
yeah,
anyways, it was frustrating. It was. But again, we could have had – if we didn't have five turnovers, we could have 800 yards in penalties. Again, so I would never blame it on one thing. Like I said, we're going to roll on this week to Ashdown. And again, when they say, you know, what are your keys to victory? I'm going to have to stick with it. We're going to have to win the turnover game. We're going to have to win the time of possession. And that kicking game has got to be flawless. I mean, I changed my practice plan to being 30 minutes of special teams every day. So I'm getting it down.
Well, let's turn the page to this coming Friday night. Ashdown Panthers beat Hamburg, I believe, 18-15. Mm-hmm. And in a game, you know, Greg and I thought that was going to be a good ball game. We don't know a lot about Hamburg, but, you know, Houghton's described them as a above-average team. You're going to go there. It's a tough place to play. And Ashdown comes out of there with the victory. There are going to be some contrasting styles than what you've seen from Mina Friday night. Is that correct, Coach?
Yes. So, you know, they do run, you know, the pro style offense, and they, you know, like to run tight end sets and trip sets and, you know, slot right, slot left and things of that sort. But they're very, very more capable of airing it out. Again, they have a great receiver core, a good quarterback that stands in the pocket, can throw dimes. Braden Walton is a good kid. I've known him a long time. As most people know, he's from DeQueen. But he not only, you know, people say, oh, he was wide open. He caught a lot of balls in that game that were contested. I mean, people were on top of him. He had to spin off of a couple of catches. But he also, you know, you got to look at the moves he puts to get open. You know what I mean? So they have a lot of threats, and they do a good job of spreading it out. They have a quarterback who can throw and run. So he's a double threat, and they usually have that. And so, yeah, there's you change your defensive scheme a little bit from how I did against Mina. You know, we'll run some different things. I can be a little bit more aggressive against a team like this who throws more. I'll try to put pressure on that quarterback, you know, things of that sort. Not so many misdirection plays as, you know, double handoffs like Mina has and traps and things of that sort. They don't have to. They have the athletes. This is going to spread you out and go to the house. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you change up your defense a little bit on that.
With Ashdown, is it more about keeping people in front of them and making plays? I mean, you try to make the first tackle, not letting them get chunk plays?
Well, the main thing is that when you have athletes, you want to get that athlete in space. When you have a lesser athlete that's not as fast, maybe what you want to do is you want to contain him. You don't want to let him get out in space. You want to control him inside. So if they have a really good athlete, you may want to double him up. If they like to run jet sweep or quarterback keep or sweep around the outside, what you want to do is try to turn that back into all of your guys to where you don't have my Sam linebacker trying to tackle their tailback in wide open space. What I want is that tailback trying to miss three of my guys inside the box. And so that's what you got to kind of do with a team that has more athletes is try to keep it in between the tackles as much as possible, because if you get them in space against a team with a lot of athletes, you're in trouble.
One thing I wanted to ask you about Ashdown, I know against the team they played this week, they didn't rush very well. Do you think that's indicative of them, or is that more so on Hamburg?
Well, again, like, you know, watching the film, Hamburg had a very good defensive front. Their front seven was very good. And, again, Hamburg can match Ashdown speed quite a bit, you know, so the getting outside and the trying to sweep outside didn't really work. And Hamburg did a great job of turning those guys back into the tackles. And when you can do that, when you can stop an athlete's speed and he has to change direction and turn back into the meat of your defense, you've done your job. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to everybody else to make that tackle. So Hamburg did a great job of not letting those guys outside. Ashdown will run inside the tackle some, but, you know, they want to get outside of you. They have some plays where they, you know, they run power, you know, inside and their runs blast, but they want to get it outside. If you can turn them back in and to the meat of your defense, I think Hamburg did a great job of that, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Okay.
Well, one last thing before we let you go, Coach. We talked about in the preseason that we have to, everybody else can make mistakes. We have to be near perfect, and that'll be a key again Friday night.
Oh, no, 100%. Like, again, I told my coaches Sunday when we met, guys, I honestly think that we had a great game plan. I said, but sometimes a great plan falls apart. You know, with the penalties that we had, with the turnovers that we had, that we were by far from perfect. We got to hang on to the ball. We're going to do drills this week to help with that. We got to stop the penalties. So we're going to do drills this week. I'm going to do psychological stuff, like I said, handing out that piece of paper to all the kids to challenge them to, you know, don't choose your anger in that moment. Choose your team. It's just little things that I think I put in the back of their mind. Well, when they do get hit in the face in the game, that I tell them 95% of the time that official is going to see the response.
That's right.
Not the first hit. I said, so if you respond, I said, all you did was choose your anger to satisfy yourself instead of the team. So little things like that is going to help with that. Again, it's just a work in progress, and that's why I'm here, is to keep on working on the progress.
All right.
It sounds good, Coach. We appreciate you coming in, taking your time to talk to us. Go Leopards Friday night.
Go Leopards.
100%. Go Leopards. I'll see y'all Friday.
Thank you. Just got finished talking to Coach Bell, and we're going to talk now about who we want to be the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page. Gentry Chevrolet, Leopard Player of the Game, Tony.
Well, you know, at the field that night, McDonald's Player of the Game, we went with John Bahina. He had 7 tackles, had 4 passes defended, had a good ball game, I thought. And we thought we'd go to the other side of the ball for this one. Jackson Van Winkle, 11 rushes, 37 yards, a catch for 8 yards. He was actually the Leopards' leading rusher and receiver, had a couple of tackles to boot. And for that, he's going to be our Gentry Chevrolet Leopard Player of the Game. So congratulations, Jackson. There were some strong. Luke Pierce had 7 tackles. Ulysses Cotto had a good offensive game. He also had 7 tackles. Cole Binkley had a rushing touchdown. But went with Jackson this week.
Yeah, great choice. Jackson Van Winkle did a good job. And congratulations to Jackson for being the Gentry Chevrolet Player of the Game. We also, you know, just to close that up just a little bit and talk about the game this Friday, you know, playing the Ashdown Panthers, going to be a different kind of test, Tony. We talked to Coach Bell about that a little bit, but I think that we, you know, we're going to see probably more athletes on the field in the Panthers, and we're definitely going to have to cut down on those mistakes.
Well, I think there's trade-offs in everything. And I think when you trade Mina for Ashdown, Mina's a very physical team. They showed that Friday night. Sometimes they showed it after the whistle blew. But they were, you know, there's an aspect of that I respect a little bit, that they, you know, they've got an edge. Ashdown, I know they have an edge, and they're much quicker than Mina, but I'm not sure they're as strong as Mina. I'm not sure. I think the Leopards may be able to move the ball on the ground better, maybe control the ball more, and that may be the only way you can contain Ashdown's offense is to throw it on the sideline.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be what's going to be most beneficial for the Leopards. If they can take the ball, not make mistakes, and do like they did in the second quarter, the drive they had then, and take it 8, 9, 10 minutes to take the ball down the field and score.
Well, you know, that 10-minute drive at the end of the first half, you know, since we've went to the flex bone, I thought it was the best drive that really encapsulates Leopard football. If I was going to take a video overseas and say, this is what the flex bone looks like and what it's designed to do, I'd take that last 10 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, they did a great job. Looking forward to going to Dick Hayes Stadium Friday night and facing the Panthers.
Speaking of the Ashdown Panthers.
That's right. Ashdown went to Hamburg Friday night and came away with a hard-fought 18-15 victory. We thought it was going to be a close game, but thought it would be a one-score game, and Ashdown, and that's exactly what it was. It was a one-score game, and Ashdown won.
Yeah, and you know, very easily could have turned out the other way, Tony.
Yeah.
If our information's correct, and we'll get Jim Cross to verify this in just a minute, their quarterback was running in for the score when Darnell Williams knocked the ball away from him at the 10-yard line, and Antonio McDuffie fell on the ball to end the game, basically.
Well, was it Antonio McDuffie or Darnell Williams?
Darnell Williams knocked it out of his hands.
Okay, and then Duffy returned it.
McDuffie got on
two the, very athletic guys.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
two very athletic guys.
You know, and looking at, you know, I was really surprised, 26 yards rushing for the Panthers, so tells me Hamburg had a really good defensive line.
Yes.
And a hard-fought game. They came out on top. You know, you had some big plays from Wood Walton.
Yeah.
5 catches for 159 yards.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I've got him on my fantasy team.
Yeah. It won't be long.
No, it will not be long.
It won't be long.
You guys want to hear from the man himself? We got Jim Cross.
Absolutely.
Jim Cross on the line.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, fellas. Doing great.
Man.
How about y'all?
Appreciate you calling in and your patience with us. We're running a little bit behind today, but, man, it is great to have you with us. You got to call Ash down at Hamburg Friday night. And what has been described to me as a roller coaster game, and it sounded like you are on a roller coaster Friday night.
Yeah, it was interesting. We start out in the first half, and quite frankly, guys, Hamburg dominated the first half, and they just kept, they ran the football, and we had a little trouble stopping them. And offensively, other than a couple of big plays, we couldn't really get much going, but the score is only 7-6 at halftime. So you felt like, hey, we're okay. We just can make a few adjustments. Then the third quarter, we come out and score a couple touchdowns. Grayson Porter hit two touchdown passes, one to Braden Walton and one to Tramiel Williams. We're up 18-7, feeling great. All the momentum. We've got them. We have the ball in the fourth quarter, and we throw an interception. They run it back for a touchdown, get a two-point conversion, cut it to 18-15. We're thinking, my goodness, now we're on the other side of the fence now, and they're driving with about 3 minutes to go. They bust a 40-yard run, and Darryl and I already getting ready to say Hamburg touchdown, and Darnell Williams, our free safety, came out of nowhere, punched the ball loose at the 10-yard line, and Antonio McDuffie recovered the fumble, or we might lose the game.
Wow.
I mean, it was a really once we felt like we had the momentum, we didn't have the momentum, we had it again. I mean, it was really an interesting ball game to watch.
Well, I don't know how you and Darryl felt about the game going in. Greg and I talked about the game, and we kind of thought we had you guys by one score. It ended up being a little closer than we thought it was going to be, but we're going to say we were right on that.
Yeah,
exactly. Y'all right on target.
Well, you know, and I think that at the end of the year, you know what it means? You got a W on your schedule there.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
And a game where you won in adversity, you know, some adversity, some things go against you, and you come out on top, it helps you all season.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a big boon to y'all for the entire year. Jim, just talk about the Leopards for a little bit in the game Friday night, what you think that's going to be like. You know, Leopards had a tough time with Mina Friday night, kind of tripped over themselves all night long, just what's your thoughts on the game Friday night?
Well, the first thing is Mina's much improved, aren't they?
I'll tell you, Mina is very physical, mm-hmm. and that sophomore quarterback, we're going to have to look at him for 3 years, and I'm not real excited about it.
No.
McMillan, was that his name?
Yeah. Max McMillan.
Yeah,
he's a good McMillan.
He's a good athlete.
He is. He's big.
They got a good tailback who doesn't look physically imposing, but Brock Peters, I think he's the basketball coach's son, had 97 yards. Man, that kid runs hard.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Yeah, I watched a little bit of the video, and it looked like that the quarterback from Mina kind of gave a little different wrinkle, because in the past Mina hadn't been able to pass much,
right?
And so that'll bring a different caveat. But when talking to Coach Richardson yesterday, you know, anytime you play the flex bone, you got to stop the fullback.
Right.
Yeah, got to stop the fullback, and then he was worried about your quarterback and the quarterback lead off the fullback, and so I think those will be two huge keys. Is to get you guys in passing situations, because that's not where you want to be. And so, you know, stopping you on first down, stopping the fullback, and stopping the quarterback lead, seem like that'll be a big piece of, at least talking to Coach Richardson yesterday, of what we're trying to do here. And then offensively, we've got to get the running game going. We couldn't run at all on Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a concern. But something that was – that kind of hurt us. MJ Hurd, our starting offensive tackle, hurt his knee late Wednesday in practice. And so the coaches were saying we kind of had to scramble to put a new tackle in, offensive tackle, the day before the game.
Yeah.
and with that, that caused the defense to change, because he was the starting defensive tackle. So you moved him to offensive tackle. Then you had another guy play. So it just kind of unnerve the team in a sense, but I think this week, a week of practice, will kind of help the offensive line gel.
Well, you're not super deep. You know that triangle game you play while you're sitting on the table at the Cracker Barrel, where you take off pegs and try to put one another, and you're moving them around. I mean, if you were a team with 35 to 45, 50 kids, I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean, one guy gets hurt and three guys have to switch a position just to fill that hole. So
our numbers are low, fellas. We know we're usually in the mid to upper 40s, sometimes 50, and we're in the high 30s.
Right.
And that makes, like you say, that makes it tough. And so we just don't need anybody else to get hurt.
Well, maybe it'll be a little cooler this Friday night than it was last Friday.
I sure hope so.
I don't know about you, but Jay and I melted down. We were in a hot box.
They called the game from the sauna. But that was one night I was glad to be on the sidelines, and it was like 120 degrees on the sidelines.
The air conditioner at Hamburg in the press box, I think, was just there for a mental peak. I don't think.
Well, you know, they don't work well if you don't turn them on either, Jim.
No, they don't. I think they turned them on about 3 minutes before we got there. So it was pretty heated in there.
Oh, wow. Well, Jim, we really, really appreciate you calling in, discussing the Friday night's game, last Friday night's game as well. You know, the Ashdown and DeQueen, old rivals, have played for a long time. But when we go down there, you know, we're treated like family by you guys, and it'll be good to get to see you and Daryl.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And looking forward to it being, what do they say, 88 to 90 instead of 105?
Yeah, so
it's going to be a great night.
Yeah.
I told my mom yesterday, it was like 85 yesterday, and I said, it feels like it's 70 because it's been so hot.
That's right. It's going to be a little bit nicer, and we can use some nicer weather for football, especially for the kids, but for us old men too.
Yeah, it's for an old announcer. So
that's exactly right. We look forward to seeing you Friday, Jim. Thank you.
Same
for
here,
calling.
Guys. Thank y'all.
Take care.
Bye.
You know, Jim just does an excellent job. He's a great interview, and we appreciate him so much helping us out with this. Need to talk about the player of the game for the Panthers, Tony.
Yeah, there was a lot to talk about. Caleb Blankenship, of course. Antonio McDuffie had an interception. He had the big fumble recovery. Nash Brown, defensive end Coy Williams, outside linebacker, Hayden Ziegler. They all played well on defense. Grayson Porter for the Panthers has two touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. But I think we know where we need to go for the player of the game.
Yeah, our Horatio State Bank player of the game for the Panthers is Braden Walton. 5 catches, 159 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Just an outstanding game.
I told you. I just moved Braden ahead of Pickens for the Steelers on my fantasy chart. He's my number one receiver now. I'm going with George Pickens, too.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't blame you. He'll be there soon enough, I think. I think he'll be there soon enough. But you know, I think one of the things that we're going to see Friday night for the Panthers, I think they're probably going to have an emphasis on getting their running game going after what happened Friday night. I think it's going to be paramount for the Leopards to be ready to stop their run.
Well, and I think when the Leopards had success Friday night, I mean, people talk about running between the tackles, Greg, but it was basically guard, center, guard, mm-hmm. is where the Leopards was able to make some hay against the Bearcats. And it may be the very same Friday night, but I do know Coach Richardson – that he will be aware of that, and he'll come up with something to stop it. You know, Mina did a good job scouting us. Many times they had 10 guys within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, and tough to run on that.
It is. It really is. But looking forward to the game. Can't wait to be there at Dick Hayes Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Friday night for the Ashdown Panthers and the DeQueen Leopards.
We appreciate Harris Drug and Gifts so much at 205 DeQueen Avenue. Giving them a call at 870-584-3522 will show you why they've been family ran at DeQueen for over 50 years, your local hometown pharmacy. Doesn't matter whether it's pharmaceutical needs you're after or home goods like essential oils and much, much more. Harris Drug and Gifts is the place for everybody to go here in Sevier County. Bridal registry, free gift wrapping, free local delivery, literally gifts for everybody in the family, including your baby, your home decor, toys, locally made goods, and more.
Don't forget the Razorback Corner.
Never forget the Razorback's Corner. It's in full swing right now. Mm-hmm. Really unique stuff you can find in there. So we appreciate Harris Drug and Gifts so much bringing you that interview with Jim Cross. Now let's talk about Dirks.
Dirks, you know, we expected them to have a close game with Falk. Ended up a 12-point loss. Falk scored right at the end of the game to put it into double digits. It was with a 6-point game up until that point in time. You know, they had what I'm going to call first game jitters. You know, we talked about this in the preseason with Coach Ernest. You know, they had they've got a quarterback that's never played football since Pee-wees.
Yeah.
And excellent athlete, but, you know, putting your hands on that ball under center for the first time in a high school football game can be very daunting.
On the road against a very good football team.
Yeah.
And what we found out at MENA, Greg, was these kids are sweating all over the football, which we haven't had rain here. I can't tell you the last time we had rain, but the football was slick Friday
night.
That's right. So wasn't the most ideal situation for a quarterback's first game. I have a feeling the Outlaws are going to get on track as the season goes on. I mean, they're just too well coached and have too many good ball players to not.
Awesome. Yeah, and you know, this week they go up against the Horatio Lions. Their player of the game this past week, Jordan Hill, almost 200 yards rushing. Look for more of that from them. And this is going to be our Southwest Arkansas Game of the Week, brought to you by Shelter Insurance and the Woods Agency.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Coach Castleman about it.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to get his take on it. But for now, let's listen to see what Paul Ernest has to say.
Yeah, we have Paul Ernest on the line.
Outlaws made a trip to Falk, a tough place to play and a long way to go, and come up on the short end of a 40-28 ball game. Coach, can you give us a little couple-minute synopsis about the game?
Yeah, we didn't play very well at all. We weren't as physical. They kind of took the fight to us right off the bat, scored on the very first offensive play of the game for them, and we were able to answer pretty quick. Jordan Hill had an exceptional game. I don't have official stats on him, but he had right at 200 yards rushing. I thought our offensive line did a pretty good job early. Then they went to a zero coverage look, kind of crowded the box, gave us some trouble, and we made some mistakes and weren't able to overcome them. You know, the big story we've been working on with our kids basically is on just the defensive side of the ball alone. We had 145 mental errors or loafs. And, you know, when you got kids playing both ways and you've got, you can't get the mindset fixed on the bench because they don't come to the bench. And, you know, it just snowballed on us, got away from us. Our kids competed hard for most of the night, had some slacks, had some letdowns, you know, mentally in the second half. But the mental errors is just really what frustrated us. So we've been working on that, started working on that yesterday, and going to address it again today and see if we can clean it up and get better for a really good Horatio team coming up.
Well, you know, the Lions did play well against the Gators Friday night, and they have had some recent success against Dirks. I remember the night that they snapped their losing streak. That was also against Derek's, that 26-game losing streak they were on. So I know that you guys will be ready. They'll be ready for you. It's going to be a great game. As a matter of fact, Greg, what is it going to be?
It's going to be our Southwest Arkansas Shelter Woods Agency Game of the Week.
That's exactly right. So it's our featured game this week. So we're expecting a good ball game as well. Looking at the Lions, Coach, and I know you don't want to give away anything, but what do you see as things that you will have to do to be on the winning side Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to fix our mental errors. You know, and one thing I do know, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for Lance Castleman, the head coach of the Horatio Lions, and looking at them on film, I mean, one thing they do really well is block, and it doesn't matter what. You know, what if it's a receiver, if it's a running back, if their quarterback gets out blocked some. So, you know, he's a former offensive lineman, college player. So that's something you'd expect from their team. Play hard. And then defensively, they're one of the better tackling teams, especially it's kind of scary early in the year how well they tackled. So, you know, we've got our work cut out for us. And, you know, just a couple of years ago, they came over to the Holler and put a pretty good whipping on the Outlaws. And so, last year we went over there and were able to you know, run away with the game. And I think it's going to be a street fight out here on Friday night. I think it's going to be a physical game, and we're going to have to play our best to beat a really good Horatio team.
Coach, just one question. I know you got a new quarterback that hadn't even been playing football. How did he fare in his first game?
Well, I didn't do a very good job with him. He didn't play as well as I would have liked for him to play. He was a little bit tentative on some of his throws that were open throws. And, you know, as a quarterback, when you're trying to place the ball and not miss, that tends to make you miss. So he didn't have his best game. We didn't do a very good job of giving him some simple stuff to get him started and getting confidence. And, you know, the run game and that zero coverage, we probably should have thrown it, you know, a lot more than what we did. Either by call or by RPO design. So that's something that we're working on this week. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to get our backup quarterback in or who's our backup right now. And his strength is actually, you know, recognizing the RPO game. And so that's something that we're going to do this week for sure. We're going to make sure that we control the box with our quarterback play, and hopefully we'll have a better week.
Boy, Coach, we really appreciate you calling in. Looking forward to hearing about the game Friday night. I think it's really going to be a good ball game as the Lions travel to play the Outlaws. For the Outlaws, it'll be the home opener, and there's something special about that as well.
So yeah.
We really appreciate it, Coach. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us. Go Outlaws.
Have a good day.
Take care. Go Outlaws.
Yes, sir.
Finish up on the Dirks Outlaws here. We need to talk about the Toad Thumper Lures Outlaw Player of the Game.
And Jordan Hill, almost 200 yards rushing against the Falk Monsters. No.
The Falk Panthers.
The Falk Panthers.
Yeah.
I did that intentionally.
Yeah, I know you did. I can tell by how red you are.
You know, we kind of thought that that was going to be a good ball game. I kind of thought Dirks would pull away at the end, maybe win by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It turned out, I think that Falk got the last touchdown and kind of made it maybe a little wider margin than what it was. We had got a report it was 35-28 at one time, and then, you know, or 34-20. Yeah. And but so Falk gets away to get the double digit win. I don't think it was a double digit game.
No, it was a close game. And I think this game against Horatio is going to be a really close game, too.
Yeah. I totally agree.
And we have to take a moment to mention DeQueen Animal Hospital, of course, over at 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen. Just give them a call, 870-642-VETS. They're also in conjunction with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. You can give them a call at 870-898-5181. This time of the year, of course, we all have to think about flea and tick prevention for our little ones, and also heartworm prevention. And you can kind of have both of those taken care of with medicine and also the grooming services that DeQueen Animal Hospital offers.
Yeah, and they will also take care of spay
mm-hmm.
and neutering mm-hmm. your pet, and which is great. And I think also that you have boarding there. They do that also.
Yeah.
So it's an all-inclusive pet service at the Queen Animal Hospital and at Ashdown Vet Clinic. You know, so if you go in, you need the flea and tick prevention, you get that. You get your heartworm protection taken care of. You also get your rabies vaccination, mm-hmm. which you have to have once a year. Your dog needs a bath, needs a grooming job. They can take care of all that. Anything else you need, they can do that. You know, also large animals,
mm-hmm.
cattle. They help me take care of my cows and cattle. I always have, and they do a great job with that. Fun to watch them.
That's right. That's right. I always go to DeQueen Animal Hospital for my pets as well. Had them both spayed and neutered there. Made me feel real good about it. Kept them overnight. You know, came back healthy. Those stitches that you can't even notice them anymore, and they fall out within, you know, a week. And it was a pleasure doing business at DeQueen Animal Hospital. And we want to talk about Foreman now. The Foreman Gators, who played
the
Horatio Lions last week. Sorry, I'm a little out of it.
That's okay. The Foreman Gators, you know, took on the Horatio Lions last Friday night, and they lost 35-6. That was our shelter insurance game of the week last week. And,
right.
And you know, Foreman not a whole lot of players, Tony, had to play a lot of people both ways. Heat was probably an issue, and you know, it was just so hot.
Right. Well, talking to Philip Fields, I think you're exactly right. It was kind of a game of attrition. I saw a Foreman roster not too long ago. I think it had 21 or 22 players on it. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it says a lot about Coach Lynch that he got his kids up to play.
Yeah.
Under those circumstances, but Lions were able to pass the ball. Riley Williamson ended up being 6 for 8, 89 yards, 4 touchdowns. A key to the game as far as their play-by-play man, Coach Fields, was concerned, was they lost a toss to Foreman, but Castleman goes with an onside kick, and they recover the onside kick. So it's one of those situations where you start both halves with the football. That's key. And then, you know, they really focused on DJ Anderson. We said about DJ Anderson before, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. And they didn't stop him, as we'll find out here in a little bit when we talk about the stats, but they contained him.
Yeah, they did contain him and for the most part. And Foreman's got a tough job this week. They're going at to Gurdon to play the Go Devils. And the Go Devils, they won this last week over Lafayette County. Or Lafayette County, excuse me, 40-32.
I do the same.
Yeah,
thing.
I know, 40-32. But I mean, close game.
Yeah, close game. Go Devils were picked 5th in their conference by Hootons, which is the 5-3A. Again, Foreman stepping up in class, playing a bigger school, and having to go on the road to do it. So they haven't got to play their home opener yet. And they're very well coached. The Go Devils are coached by Kyle Jackson, his 9th season. He's 66-39 there at Gurdon. And Gurdon has some Panther speed, Greg.
And yeah, they really do. And I think that there's Kyle Jackson, Eddie Jackson's son from Prescott,
yeah,
who coached there forever. Just got the coaching in his blood, and you see what an excellent job he's done there with his overall record. Going to be a tough road to hoe for the Foreman Gators this week.
Yeah, senior running back Sheldon Smith, 4.7 speed, had almost 1,200 yards rushing last year. They have an all-state inside lineman, you know, kind of a guard center in Braden King, another one of those guys I'd like to get after you, 6'3", 287. Holy cow. Had 12 tackles for loss at nose tackle last year.
That's crazy.
So you know that kid's an athlete.
Yep.
So Gators will have their hands full again this week. You know, one of the key components you hear coaches talk about that there's no bigger improvement than there is from week one to week two, and hopefully that'll be the case for Foreman this week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing about the Gators and their success against the Go Devils.
Well, and Greg, it's time to pick our Horatio State Bank Gator player of the game.
And he would be running back DJ Anderson, who had 79 rushing yards and 1 TD against the Horatio Lions Friday night, and for that, he's going to be the Gator player of the game, brought to you by Horatio State Bank.
You know, DJ Anderson's one of those kids, you know, 79 rushes, a touchdown, but like we talked about the slot machine, you pull the lever a couple of times, that could easily have a 1 in front of it. He could have went from 179 and 3 touchdowns.
That's exactly
right. So the Lions did a good job against him, but DJ's a good ball player.
He is a great ball player.
We got to talk about the Horatio Lions next, but first, we need to talk about Dr. Randy Walker, who has you covered 7/7/7. That's 7 days a week from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. that they are open as a multi-specialty clinic. And they offer all kinds of things, especially for the workplace, like DOT physicals, drug screenings, workers' compensation and employment and pre-employment physicals, as well as much, much more, like wound care, fracture care and casting, joint injections, skin lacerations, you name it. They can also get you hydrated with IV fluids and antibiotics. I've taken Miles there a couple times. It's always very friendly people up front. And again, like I said, Monday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7/7/7.
7/7/7 at Ayers Cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, but also open Saturday mornings.
That's right.
So they've added to that. And they're located at 621 West Gilson Avenue, or you can call them at 870-584-7128 for all your clothes needs.
That's right. Leopard Care Clinic, their goal with Leopard Care Clinic is to help improve the lives of the Dequeen School District children and faculty by bringing essential services to them when and where they need them most. On campus, full service medical center, amazing. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. They are open and they support student success because healthy students are better learners. And of course,
Simple Simons.
My favorite. I went and ate the buffet after did that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You guys both needed to go. I don't know where you went. I know where I went. I went to Simple Simons Buffet. Going at Simple Simons Pizza, all right? 870-642-4103. Call them for delivery or carry out.
Did you eat the wings?
No, I got the buffet.
The wings are on the buffet.
I haven't seen the wings on the buffet.
They are. Yeah.
Oh, I need to bug them about that.
Yeah, wings were on the buffet, man, and they are so good.
Dang.
I mean, obviously their pizza's great. Mm. Their salad bar is beyond reproach.
Yeah.
It's just above everything else. But the wings are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love their wings.
All you can eat, $8.99.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah. It's so good. I've jam-packed my body full of so much dough. I don't even know what to do. And I'm doing it again today now. I have to.
Hey, you talk about it, you got to do it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Simple Simons Pizza. We appreciate them and all of the Walker Empire so much. And now it's time to talk about the Horatio Lions, who did great on Friday night.
They did. They won 35-6 over the Foreman Gators in our Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Shelter Insurance Game of the Week.
Sponsored by Jeff Woods.
And we appreciate him doing that.
Absolutely.
We still got to get him to make a pick so we can, all the people will be mad at him. But, you know, Horatio played a great game starting out. Started out with a sophomore quarterback, although he had played a little bit in high school as a freshman at the end of the year last year. Couldn't have started out better, Tony.
No, it's hard to imagine a better start to your official high school career than four touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I feel like nobody was more happy about it than Philip Fields.
Pretty excited when I talked to him Saturday, I'll tell you that.
I bet that's right. But, you know, amazing thing about this is, I mean, you got two guys. You got senior tight end Ismael Tinajero and also slot Ryland Pickett, who Coach Castleman's talked about a lot. Two receiving touchdowns each.
Yeah.
I mean, two each.
They're just connecting.
Yeah.
Mm. And then their strong safety running back, Drake Angel, had 110 yards rushing, played really well on defense. And as we talked about when we talked about the Gators, I mean, there's a real possibility when you play DJ Anderson that he makes two or three big plays on you. They were able to contain him to 79 yards and a touchdown. So the line defense played really well.
They really did. You know, you talked about this in the Gator game when we talked about Foreman too. They lost the toss, but they had an onside kick, so they get the ball at the start of both halves.
That's right.
Which makes it, you know, that's a huge mental advantage for the Horatio Lions.
Actually happened to the Leopards too, but we weren't able to take advantage of it as Mina fumbled the kick return.
That's true. And then, you know, when you talk about Horatio moving forward to this week, they're going to be playing the Dirks Outlaws, Tony, and going to be a tall task for Horatio, I think. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think about if Dirks goes to Falcon, wins Friday, I think this is a more manageable task, believe it or not. But I think they're going to face a nasty bunch of Outlaws Friday night.
Yeah. And home opener for Dirks, and they're going to be have their dander up after losing that game because they thought they were supposed to win.
I haven't heard that since my grandpa passed away.
I was trying to think what a horse would do, but I couldn't think of anything. Yeah. And, you know, since their mascot's a horse, I don't know.
I can always rely on Greg for that type of thing. What's that thing that you do to get the fire going?
Bellows?
Yeah.
It's electronic
Dirks
ignition.
Dirks is going to bellow the flame.
Yeah. I use a leaf blower personally. So,
well, I do think though that they're going to be really ready to play Friday night and upset about what happened last Friday night at Falk, which doesn't help Horatio out any. Still going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too. And Horatio always plays Dirks very well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we can talk about this being the game of the week, too, can we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
This is it. Horatio two times in a week.
Yeah.
Or in a row.
This is the Horatio versus Dirks is going to be this week's Southwest Arkansas Sports Page game of the week, brought to you by Sheltered Insurance and the Woods Agency, Jeff Woods. Mm. So go see them for all your insurance needs. But we feel like this game is going to be an outstanding game to watch, and it's going to be a close game, and I think it's going to be great.
I think my first thought when I think of a key to victory is Horatio. They're coming off a big win, home opener. They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. Like we say, the Outlaws are probably a little wrangled.
Yeah,
and are they going to be able to? Is Horatio going to be able to match the energy and intensity that I know Dirks is going to play with Friday night?
Right.
It's like confidence versus vengeance. Which one's stronger?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from the man himself. We actually have Coach Castleman on the line right now.
And Coach Castleman's on the air from Horatio now. Coach, great win by y'all Friday night.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And we went out and were able to do some good things and execute well, and the effort was there. Our attitudes were great, and they got the job done for us.
Well, you know, Coach, we expected a closer ball game than the final score ended up being. I got to talk to Phillip Fields this weekend. He kind of thought that maybe you guys handled the heat better than Foreman did. And you've got a little more depth as well, but it really sounds like the Lions just come out and played well. I was telling Greg earlier, I said, I can't remember the last time I heard of a sophomore quarterback throwing four touchdown passes in the first game.
Yes, sir. And, you know, we made it a priority all throughout the offseason and through the summer with our strength and conditioning. And I was a little bit concerned with last week. You know, we were dealing with a lot of restrictions on what we could do with conditioning due to the heat. But, again, they handled it well. And, you know, the game went by quickly. We didn't run a lot of plays, offensively at least. And our conditioning held up, and everything went great on that end.
I heard you pulled a Bill Cowher and snuck an onside kick in there.
We did. You know, that was something that, you know, we kind of started tossing around right there in the moments before the game. And, you know, we go in and talk to the guys, you know, right before we come out, and it just, you know, it just came out, guys. We're gonna if we are kicking off, we're gonna onside, so be ready. And we saw that we had lost the toss. Foreman decided that they wanted the ball, so we fired it up, dialed it up, and they executed it.
That's a great way to start the game, and then just looking at some of the stats here, Drake Angel had a great game running the ball, had 110 yards rushing. Also played well on defense. I know he's one of your mainstays.
Yes, sir. And go ahead. He came out. I believe he had 8 carries. Yes, that's correct. He had 8 carries and ran the ball hard. Our offensive line got after it. And that's another thing we preach to those guys. Man, if you're trusting your tracks and firing off the football, we're going to be just fine. And we saw that Foreman – in their scrimmage game, you know, they were doing a lot of 3-3 stack stuff and twisting and stunting, and that was what we were preaching all week. Just don't let any of that confuse you. Just play fast, fire off the ball, and trust your track. And they came out and did what we worked on all week. And usually if you can do that and get kids to do that, you get good results.
Coach, looking at the stats, one of the other keys to the game, I thought, when you all – we talked about DJ Anderson in our you know, pre-season episodes and how good a back he is, and he's kind of like a slot machine. You just keep feeding it quarters and you pull the lever, and he's going to pay off. He did have 79 yards and a touchdown, but it seemed like y'all contained him.
Yes, I mean our guys, we knew all week that, you know, that was their guy and they were going to feed him. And we worked hard all week long, continuing to build on what we did in fall camp, and that's just reading our keys getting lined up right, reading our keys, and playing downhill and playing fast. And, you know, we tell our guys defensively, each one of you is a piece of the puzzle. To make a play, you don't have to make the tackle, but you have to be in the right spot to help those guys around you and play your role in our defense, fit it up correctly. And they did that, and we were able to contain them for the most part. He was able to make a few misses here and there and get some nice runs, but we were able to bend but not break.
That's great, and congratulations on the win. You are the winner of the inaugural.
Inaugural.
The first.
The
Yankees say it. Yankees say it. Inaugural. I'm not sure what you said.
You are the winner of the first Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air game of the week.
Yeah.
And for that, guess what? You get to be the game of the week again.
Yeah, that's right. You just keep being the game of the week until you lose.
Yeah, until you lose. Yeah. Horatio and we picked Horatio and Dirks as our game of the week this week. And tell us a little bit about what you think about the Outlaws. I mean, what you saw from their film in the first game and how you're going to handle them.
Well, the first thing that sticks out about the Outlaws when you watch them is, number one, you can tell they're well coached. And yes. They play extremely hard. They've got a good group of linemen in there that really get after you. And they've got a trio of good backs. I mean, those guys, they run the ball hard. They're finishers. When they get the ball in their hands, they're looking to score. You know, and they get after you. And, you know, just like any week, defensively, we got to stay the course and do our jobs. And our effort has definitely got to match theirs, or we're not going to have a chance at it. But I feel pretty good about our guys. They're up for the game, very similar to last week. It's a rival, and we're looking forward to Friday night.
Well, Coach, Greg and I talked about this, and Tyler as well. You know, I almost think that from a mindset standpoint, y'all might be in a little better shape had the Outlaws went to Falcon 1 rather than – facing them in the home opener coming off a loss.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Falk's a tough opponent.
Yes.
And, you know, watching that game, they've got some great athletes. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that Derek's was outclassed. It's just one of those nights Falk was able to make more plays and came out on top. But definitely for us, we're not taking any of that for granted and saying we won and they lost. We know we've got our hands full with Derek Friday.
It'll be a great atmosphere over there in the holler.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Sure will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're looking forward to it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking to us, and we hope you have a great game Friday night.
Congratulations on the week zero win.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir, we appreciate it, and y'all have a good one. God bless.
God bless you. You take care, Coach.
All right, thank you.
We're gonna talk about the Horatio Line player of the game, Tony, we felt like a pretty obvious choice. I mean, a lot of kids had good games for Horatio. We talked about both the tight end Tina Harrow and the slot back Pickett, two touchdowns apiece. But the guy that threw all those touchdowns to him, sophomore Riley Williamson, 6 of 8, 89 yards, 4 touchdowns in his, when I'm going to say, high school opener.
Well, if anybody has any problems with that pick, tell me the last time a sophomore had 4 touchdown passes in his first game.
Yeah.
And I think that pretty well solidified, at least in my mind.
Yeah. And you know, just a great game by him. And, you know, I think obvious choice for player of the game. And I'm going to go one step further, Tony.
All right.
We're going to make Riley our player of the area.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's going to be the Pilgrim player of the area for week 0.
Great. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Back in episode 1, were we not talking to Lance Castleman about who the quarterback is going to be, and he was a little bit uncertain?
Well,
yeah, he had a senior and a sophomore.
Yeah, yeah. And Hootens kind of gave that in the article too, but Riley has stepped up.
Yeah. Yeah, and congratulations to Riley for being the Pilgrim player of the area for week 0, or the first week. Mm. And we should say, I don't know why I did that. But
I don't either.
That'll mess me up all year long.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
I'm
going back. Riley Williamson is our player of the area for week 1, sponsored by Pilgrim. And right. We appreciate them so much.
Week zero.
You're going to get a call from the AAA.
Yeah, I know. Probably.
It's week zero.
It's week zero, Greg.
Say zero or she pays.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you know, congratulations to him. Just an outstanding game. And look forward to watching him for the next 3 years.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. So what a great performance in your first game.
Yeah. Player of the game, player of the area. That's both right. In one player. That is awesome. Very cool. Well, guys, we've talked about literally everything that we could talk about. And also, we have to thank you guys listening because the podcast numbers are doing very well. The Facebook listenership is great. The interaction that we get for Magic Springs giveaways and all kinds of stuff when we release a new episode, it's all great. We can't do it without you guys. So we got to thank the listeners and the sponsors.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody for listening and for all the sponsors, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.